In 1998, a reporter for the magazine Forbes Digital discovered that a feature article on computer hackers by New Republic staff writer Stephen Glass was entirely made up. An investigation by the New Republic found that 26 other stories by Glass were frauds as well. The new film Shattered Glass by first-time director Billy Ray is based on a Vanity Fair article by Buzz Bissinger. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
It's no mystery why many of us in the media can't read enough stories about the fabricators Stephen Glass and the New York Times' Jason Blair. Anyone who's ever stared at a blank screen and thought, "How can I fill this?" knows that in those desperate moments before a deadline, almost any of us could make stuff up or borrow someone else's words. So we hate the ones who give in. Every time I feel a twinge of pity and think, "Let them alone, finally. They're human beings," I'll read something infuriating. A piece of Glass's novel, The Fabulist, say, in which he portrays himself as a victim. Or I'll read that Jason Blair was at a restaurant agreeing to a mid-six-figure deal for a memoir called Burning Down My Master's House when he saw Walter Cronkite and strolled up and stuck out his hand. And then I'm back in one of those vampire movies where you can't just drive a stake through their hearts, you have to cut off their heads and stuff their mouths with garlic. Billy Ray's Shattered Glass isn't a great piece of dramatic construction, and I'm still wrestling with its fairly whopping omissions. But it satisfied my bloodlust. It's like a public stoning. The movie's structure is both simple and strange. It begins with Glass, whom we know to be a fabricator or there wouldn't be a movie, being welcomed as a hero at his high school journalism class. As our anti-hero, played by Hayden Christensen, tells the wide-eyed pupils of his illustrious career, the movie flashes back to his life as a rising star at the New Republic, where he wrote zeitgeist stories that managed to be both snarky and gee-whiz. Here's Glass at an editorial meeting, pitching a story that's an offshoot of the Mike Tyson ear-biting scandal.
Every station on the radio is talking about it. Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield. And these are supposed to be news stations. So on Tuesday, I started calling a few of them, and I finally got through to one. A Bible talk station in Kentucky. And I managed to convince the screener that I was a behavioral psychologist who specializes in human-on-human biting. I told the guy that I'd done all this extensive research on people who chomp flesh under extreme stress.
What did they say?
They put me on the air. I took calls for 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Why does he find these people?
It's kind of stupid. I know. It's silly. I'll probably just kill it.
It's a masterful con, but the beauty part is that his self-deprecation seems sincere. Glass turns in pieces and says things like, "You hate it. It's the worst thing I ever wrote. I may have to kill myself." And he's constantly asking, "Are you mad at me?" He doesn't want friends. He wants moms and dads and big sisters and brothers. He takes his shoes off in the office, like it's his family den. He joshes, he cuddles, he teases. He's the kind of Jimmy Olsen type who can warm up a sterile corporate environment. Director Ray holds Glass at arm's length, though, and keeps both his process, the actual act of fabricating those stories, and his motivations off the screen. We have to infer a lot. We hear that there's parental pressure for Glass, who comes from Chicago's affluent Highland Park neighborhood, to be a star, a doctor, or a lawyer, not a journalist. And I can understand why Ray doesn't want to turn this into another movie about a kid being screwed up by mom and dad. But it's obviously an enormous part of Glass's inner world, and without it, the movie feels half-baked. I don't know how much the general public will be interested in the lives of the late editor Michael Kelly, Glass's nurturing surrogate father, or Kelly's replacement, Chuck Lane, the cold, withholding father. But there is plenty of sadistic pleasure in watching him squirm when Forbes digital reporter Adam Pennenberg, played by Steve Zahn, tries to do a follow-up to an article and discovers there's no there there. You wonder when Glass will just say it, "I'm a fraud." But in the movie, he never does. He wants to be loved and protected to the end. The performances of Christensen, Chloe Sevigny as a doting colleague, Hank Azaria as Kelly, and especially Peter Sarsgaard as a prissy and humorless but achingly vulnerable Chuck Lane, are so good that for long stretches the artifice drops away, and you think you're watching a fly-on-the-wall documentary. Only the movie's climax is suspect, Chuck Lane becoming a stand-up-and-cheer hero for firing glass, as if there's an editor in the world who wouldn't fire a writer for fabricating. Can you imagine a Jason Blair movie that builds to a standing ovation for Howell Raines? It's an uplifting but bogus touch. In fact, it's pure Stephen Glass.
David Edelstein is the film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Herzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Sharrock directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bean Cooley.
We're going out tonight to break some things. We dive on lemonade and pigeon's wings. We'll set your shoes on fire and then your hair. We're kind of ugly, but we don't care.